When did you realise pirate radio existed, Aidan?
1977, I suppose. There was nothing else to listen to, really. We had half an hour, maybe, Larry Gogan playing hits, or you had Radio Luxembourg, or you had BBC Radio 1. And this thing came along, Radio Dublin came along, and all the kids were listening to it. Word of mouth, really. And I remember listening to it, and I remember ringing the station and asking the man, could I come over and visit it? I was probably 15 at the time, and he said, no, for security reasons, you can't come in. And then I was sick in bed, and I discovered a station called ARD, and I felt like I'd discovered it. I felt like it was my find. And I rang them. They were down in Belvedere Place off Dorset Street. And I asked, could I come down and visit? And they said, yeah, come down and visit. And I was instantly hooked.
And what do they sound like, these stations?
Great. Absolutely brilliant. Rock and roll. They were pirates. You know, it was to me, it was like a whole new world, and everything was brilliant. It didn't matter whether he was the worst disc jockey in the world. It didn't matter whether he was the smoothest, the fastest, the tightest. It was just something I landed on and thought, I want this. I have to have this. And it was just in the blood. I spent a summer down in ARD for, I think, 50 pence a week or something was the check. And basically, I was there from 7 in the morning until they kicked me out at night.
And how did you get involved then on the actually speaking into the mic?
Well, what happened was, once I was down there, I was answering telephones, and I was bringing up tea to disc jockeys like Ronan Collins, like Jason Main, like Stephen Rhodes. And I finally said to the guy who was there, how do I get to do this? And they were very kind to me because, you know, you were a school kid. They allowed me practice in the basement where they recorded their commercials. And then one evening, somebody didn't turn up, and there was a tape program on before it. And somebody didn't turn up, and I was there, and I rang the boss, and he said, well, look, we're nothing for it, but you better go on. And I did an hour of what I thought was like brilliant, but was absolutely dreadful. And I thought, I have a job here now. But sadly, they told me I wasn't good enough, and I was still too young. And I persevered, and I got so frustrated at one point that I rang Radio Dublin again, and I got through to Cook again. And I said, look, you know, I work in ARD, but I'm unhappy. I didn't tell him I was the gopher. I was the guy running the messages, and I was the guy making the tea. And he said, oh, come over. We have a slot for you. So he gave me 12 midnight till 2 a.m. on a Wednesday night during June, July and August of 1978. And that was really the entry point for me.
And can you describe what the studios were like?
Yeah, the ARD studios that I used to make the tea and bring the stuff up to was almost like a radio studio, but it had eggshell boxes on the ceiling to absorb the sound. It had separate turntables and a mixer in the middle. Whereas when we got to Radio Dublin, it was literally in the front room of his house, number 3 Sarsfield Road, and they had twin decks from the band centre. Above the twin decks were two tape recorders to play out the ads. And above that again then was an old valve radio. And we used to go, or the jocks used to go, I eventually got to do that. It's 9 a.m, here's the news now with Charles Mitchell. And we turned the microphone around, get the pips, and the 9 o'clock news or the 8 o'clock news would come in from RTE, and they went mad. The studio there, yeah, on the left-hand side was a small mix desk as well, mainly for playing out the ads. Your microphone was on the turntables. And it was like, well, we look back now, how simple it was. Transmitter upstairs in his bedroom, or one of the bedrooms in the house, aerial out the back, everything electrified.
And did you ever feel you were acting illegally?
No. Not in the slightest. Never. It was funny, really, because my father, God rest him, worked on Pulse or Pulse and Telegraphs at the time, and he used to say, like, you have to have a different name. And all the lads used to say, you have to have a different name. And of course, for the first couple of years, I did. I'm Aidan Joseph. I became Aidan J. Glamorous. And when you look back now, how silly it was. But it was just great times.
And what is your memory of that period in Ireland, just generally?
There was nothing going on. We were the things that were going on in Dublin. We were very lucky. We were kids. There was lots of people in and out of the radio stations. Dublin didn't have anything. You couldn't go to college. I was supposed to go to college in 79. It was far more limited then than it is now, obviously. We only had the two universities, Trinity and UCD. DCU hadn't happened. And after that, it was the colleges that you would go to. I was going to go to the one in Rathmines College, to do a degree in journalism. And instead, I ended up doing the breakfast show on Radio Dublin, much to the consternation and the hell at home.
And before Pirate Radio, what did you listen to?
Larry Gogan was one of the things. The sponsor shows in the afternoon. Frank Kelly did a fantastic one for Glenabbey Knitwear. It was funny, it was together. Larry Gogan did half an hour of music. Ed Stewart on a Saturday morning on BBC Radio 1 with the Kids Request show. And Tom Brown on the BBC Top 40 on Sunday was absolutely brilliant.
And what sort of music do you remember from that time?
All of it, really. I think one of the funniest parts was coming into it. I mean, 78, the summer of 78, I'm 16 and I've just completed fifth year in school. So that's where I was. And, you know, Led Zeppelin and all that had happened. Punk was just on its... It was at its height, I suppose, because 77, 78, 76, 77, 78 led us into the punk years. And what was coming after punk was there. But one of the things I always remember was I'd met a jock, an older jock called Cyril Walsh, and he started telling me about all this great music of the 60s that I wasn't familiar with. And I found it very funny that we were playing re-recorded hits, like the new artists were playing old songs. And I used to think the new songs were far better. And he used to argue with me and say, no, 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 the original stuff's far better. And then it's when you get a little bit older and the same thing's happening again, you're going, huh, that Boys On version is rubbish. You should have heard the original. So, you know, everything was up for grabs and I would play anything or listen to anything. But I suppose what was going on in the pop world was really what was occupying us on the Pirates.
And just give us a kind of a rundown of the names of stations at the time, just a kind of a brief kind of a...
All right, well, for me, ARD was the first one. Then I moved to Radio Dublin. From Radio Dublin, I moved on to Big D. And these were the three sort of main rivals at the time, 77, 78, 79. Others that came along included Radio City. And then if you got out a little bit, out in stores, it was KELO. Not all necessarily at the same time. On the south side, you had Southside Radio. And then you had Radio Leinster, which was further up, literally up in the Dublin Mountains. They were the landscape of that era. And then in the early 80s, Sunshine arrived. And I remember we were working in Big D at the time, and James Dillon, who was the owner, sort of said, these guys are serious players, they're going to cause a lot of problems. And they did. And then there was the split in Sunshine, which I know you'll be talking about the Pirates in later episodes, led to Nova. And they basically took control of everything. But prior to that, the main players, I suppose, in the late 70s were Radio Dublin, the Big D, and ARD were the three big stations.
And if I was asked you to sum up the whole period in a couple of sentences, how would you do that?
Well, for me, it was life-changing. For me, it was great fun. It was the dawning of a new era. Like, we were pirates and we were rebels, and I don't think we even realised that we were just, in a lot of cases, kids having fun.
Aidan Cooney, thank you very much indeed.
Cheers, Steph.